From the Lynn to Grand Teton University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 28th day of June, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll discuss the agricultural energies with Dan O'Brien from Kansas State University Extension and take a look at the weather forecast, too. That with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Oh, and the agricultural statisticians from Illinois, Minnesota, and Iowa will be here with updates from their regions on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July corn today at $7.59.5. It ended 15 and a quarter cents higher. December at $6.59.25, up 6.25. And July soybeans today up 33.25 at $16.63.75. November beans $14.62.5, 29.75 higher. And the bean meal up $12.40. The bean oil $1.27 higher for the day. Wheat futures up 17.25 at $9.21.25. And the soft red July, the hard July, at $9.83.75, up 11 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures down 75 cents at $132.72.5. The feeders off $2.30 at $171.82.5. And lean hogs at $103.82.5 per 100 pounds, $1.05 lower. Crude oil up $2 a barrel. The gasoline about 9.5 cents higher. And diesel fuel or heating oil just about unchanged on the day. We're now joined by Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, to discuss what happened in Chicago. It's been a turnaround Tuesday, Wayne. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, it's sort of fun on a turnaround Tuesday when it's green instead of red and turning around here. But, you know, I think a lot of this came just out of the simple fact that China popped back up and said that you know, we're going to start opening things up. We're going to start getting businesses running, and that maybe we're going to try to restock some stuff that won't happen. And it added a lot of enthusiasm to come back on that respect. And then, of course, the crop ratings yesterday afternoon. A lot more declines in than we were looking for there, too. So between the two, we got to see a green day. We didn't hold all of our stuff enthusiasm into the close, but it was a nice day.
Hey, so if China's deciding to open up, then they're really changing things at this point. They've been locked down hard because of COVID. That could make a big difference, I would think.
Well, we sure hope it is, and we hope that it's our country they're coming to. But we're seeing a lot of overtures thrown at South America, like, we'll make sure that you have fertilizer, we'll make sure we do business together, and we'll do all of that. We're hoping that they will have to come to us to supply some stuff. And we'd like to see our shipments and sales pick up to China, because that's where we're lacking sort of on us. We haven't picked up much that Russia hasn't been shipping different places that way, even through all this mess and the war and the blockade and the Black Sea area and stuff that way. So we'd really like to see a pickup in some Chinese business now and some more shipments going out of the country. You know, which when you talk about old crop corn and beans, one of the biggest bulls in the market out there, when a trade advisor advised selling some of their old crop corn and beans that you had left today because of the great basis levels that we're having here now in the country and how much more that the July is trading at than the September, let alone the basis levels for that point in time. So we did see one of the big bulls that did advise some of the old crop corn and bean sales today.
I guess while it was a turnaround Tuesday, that means the trend must be in the other direction at this point.
Yeah, you know, that we look, if you look at the charts, why they're not very pretty. We've really looked like there's a top in this market. But basically, we've got the weather forecast is, you know, it got a little kinder there for part of it. But, you know, the weekly soil moisture shows that 43% of the eastern Midwest is short moisture. And the West, which is supposed to be the dry, we look in drought area, is only 30% short in the Western Belt. But, you know, we are looking at a few more showers. Not a lot, though. You know, maybe a half to an inch and a half of rain here sometime between now and the 7th of July. So, you know, there is some rain that is coming. Sort of a difference whether it's saying it stays south of 70 or comes on up here on how the front moves through.
Hey, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
That is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 4% of the corn crop around the nation is silking. The five-year average is also 4%. The condition of the crop, 55% good, 12% excellent, for a total of 77% good to excellent. Last week, those numbers were 57 and 13%, so the condition has declined. Soybeans are now at 98% planted, and the five-year average is 97%. 91% of that crop is emerged. That's right on the five-year average. And 7% of the crop has bloomed. 11% is the five-year average. 55% of the crop is in good condition. 10% excellent. Last week, those numbers were 58 and 10. Taking a look at the winter wheat, 95% of that crop is headed. The average is 98% over the 5 years. 41% of the crop has been now harvested. The rolling 5-year average is 35%, and the condition of the crop remains very poor at 25% good, 5% excellent, the same as last week. Moisture conditions across much of the Corn Belt, 18 reporting states, 53% adequate and 4% surplus. That's down from last week when it was 59% adequate and 6% surplus. Now here are the statisticians with their weekly updates.
This is Melissa Bond, statistical assistant for the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office. Fieldwork activities included cutting hay and spraying crops. Topsoil moisture condition rated 6% very short, 22% short, 67% adequate, and 5% surplus. Corn condition rating was 80% good to excellent. 97% of soybeans have emerged, 4 days behind last year but 3 days ahead of the 5-year average. Soybeans have begun to bloom at 2%, 12 days behind last year and 1 week behind the average. Iowa's soybean condition rating remained 80% good to excellent. All hay condition rated 72% good to excellent. Pasture condition rated 62% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, this is Melissa Bond.
This is the Illinois Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending June 26, 2022. Statewide, the average temperature was 76.4 degrees, 2.6 degrees above normal. Precipitation averaged 1 inch, nearly normal. Topsoil moisture supply was rated 9% very short, 22% short, 68% adequate, and 1% surplus. Corn condition was rated 2% very poor, 5% poor, 23% fair, 59% good, and 11% excellent. Soybeans emerged reached 96% compared to the 5-year average of 92%. Soybeans blooming reached 2% compared to the 5-year average of 10%. Soybean condition was rated 3% very poor, 7% poor, 24% fair, 54% good, and 12% excellent. Winter wheat harvested for grain was 66% compared to the 5-year average of 57%. Winter wheat condition was rated 4% very poor, 9% poor, 19% fair, 54% good, and 14% excellent. Pasture and range conditions rated 4% very poor, 5% poor, 30% fair, 51% good, and 10% excellent. This has been Steve Parn with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Favorable weather conditions allowed farmers 5.5 days suitable for field work during the week. Topsoil moisture supply is rated 1% very short, 11% short, 75% adequate, and 13% surplus. Corn condition was 1% very poor, 4% poor, 31% fair, 53% good, and 11% excellent. Soybean emergence was at 93%, that's 20 days behind last year and 8 days behind the 5-year average. Soybean condition was rated 1% very poor, 3% poor, 35% fair, 53% good, and 8% excellent. All hay condition was rated at 0% very poor, 3% poor, 25% fair, 58% good, and 14% excellent. Pasture condition was rated at 1% very poor, 5% poor, 23% fair, 56% good, and 15% excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their updates of the weekly crop progress reports from the United States Department of Agriculture. Thank you. On Tuesdays, we always take a look at the agricultural energies. Dan O'Brien is here. He's with Kansas State University Extension, an agricultural economist. Although today he is in Santa Fe, New Mexico at the Western Agricultural Economics Annual Meeting. You guys have stuff to talk about out there?
I tell you, we're down here. I would say it hadn't rained for a good long time, and the economists show up and suddenly it's raining and the sidewalks are wet. And so I think they'll probably pay us to keep coming back if we have a track record like this. So.
Well, if you want to come here, that's fine too.
We okay,
use another rainfall. We had that rainfall over the weekend in the eastern part of the Corn Belt, at least through our part of the world. If you get further to Indiana and Ohio, it did not make it quite that far, and they're still suffering. However, you and I should talk about demand as it's related to agricultural energies. I believe the EIA had a report out this morning on ethanol. Can you tell me about it?
USDA Ag Marketing Service, and with EIA ties, no doubt, did come out this morning with its indication of what the ethanol prices were in Eastern Corn Belt. And again, that average for you all is about 277. Out here where we're at, about 268. So we're a little bit lower. And really, that 277 price in the Eastern Corn Belt's just slightly eclipsed by the 285 in Iowa. So I can recall, that doesn't seem like that long ago, first part of the year where we were hoping we'd stay above $2. But all that's happened in the energy markets has really, really come full circle for us in that. And, you know, gasoline prices, U.S. average gasoline prices, last recorded number, over $5, $5.06. It had been when you look at the last several weeks, it was $4.62 on May 30th, June 6th about $4.90, over $5 now, and just really, really strong movement. And of course, diesel even higher than that, $5.72. So our ethanol plants are in quite the situation. They're dealing with what had been really strong corn prices, still very strong corn prices, but there has been somewhat of a sideways to lower trend in those. So with their ethanol, biodiesel prices staying on the high side, and the for what they're selling, and then the inputs moderating some, then it would seem their profitability would be holding up decently. What I don't have in front of me, as we speak right now, would be the trends that we're seeing within the last week of stocks and production. So we'll see where we go. But clearly, the strong consumer demand for fuels has a positive impact on the ethanol market. Plus, what the current administration may do to increase ethanol blends and certain situations. So all of help really to the ethanol industry.
You also help to manage KSU Grains or the agmanager.info online. I know you talk a lot about grain, corn, soybeans, and wheat prices. I'm wondering if you could build maybe a technical picture that envelops some of this demand as well and what that might mean to the marketplace going forward.
Well, one thing that I try to watch is, of course, we're watching crop insurance on the one hand, where drought has really affected us, and we're looking at the futures on the other. Looking at soft red futures, in particular, in the most recent RSI numbers, which had been near 70 and at times up near 80, in the basically what looks like now to be double tops for that market that occurred in March at about 1278 and about 1284 in early May. Now for the Chicago contract trading on a weekly basis, weekly close about 917 and a half. In RSI down below 50, down to 44, 45. Of course, the hard red winter wheat harvest, even though it's short in places, as it's coming on, there'll still be a bunch of cash sales that'll come into play. And as we stand right now, there'd be some grain coming into the market that would be kind of cash flow oriented sales, people not having storage, et cetera. That'll all be in play. And of course, for us, when we're taking into account the areas that really had dry conditions through Texas, Oklahoma, parts of western Kansas, we're looking at a tremendous crop insurance price too. That they had a projected price from last August, September for hard red at 708, and now the closing was the harvest price actually is going to average 1107. So we're comparing 1107 for a harvest average price to where we're at right now for Kansas hard red winter wheat at about for July it's 981. So sometimes you get bit by it in situations like this, and other times you come out of winter. And this time, for those that are short on bushels because of production failure issues, the crop insurance is working for them. The crop revenue insurance will be working for them this go around.
In my part of the world, folks will be asking themselves, well, what about corn and soybeans and this RSI, the relative strength indicator that you discuss, which really is just a measure of how quickly traders are bidding the price of the security of the commodity up or down. So it measures strength of direction, I suppose, and what that might mean for harvest prices for corn and soybeans.
Well, that's a multi-parted question, but corn, as it sits right now for continuous contract on weekly closes, that RSI now is down to about 463. And of course, we're trading right now the July contract just ready to enter into delivery period at 760. You go into September, we're looking at about 90 cents less at 670. But we had seen highs for corn, highest number about 824 and a half, and that coming basically in the in April, May, and we've come down from that now down to this I guess this lead number about 730. So still great prices, but certainly a slowing of momentum in this. And for soybeans, we're looking situation where we've really seen a drop off. Well, so we've seen this great drop off, and we're only down to 1432. We were up to 1784 or something, or thereabouts at the highest, and that occurred not that long ago. So we look at that, and you're bringing crop insurance considerations back into this. So we have a projected price for corn in Kansas, and not far different from that, of course, over where you're at in Illinois, about $5.90. Well, now Dease corn, we're looking at the markets from this morning, they're at about 662. So still you have corn futures over its planting price. November futures as we speak from this morning, I guess, looking at those numbers, about 1460 or so, and the planting price is about 1433. I think the big issue for people right now is they look at what could happen from here on into harvest. Well, a lot of that will be affected by the upcoming June 30th acreage report, and if anything, we may have planted a little bit more corn than had been thought, may have planted a little bit less soybeans than had thought, at least as I read the trade expectations. Either way, there's a lot of potential for volatility on that day. And I guess those report numbers are going to be released at 11 a.m. And what'll happen afterwards? That'll be a lot to say about the volatility and pricing opportunities that we'll immediately have towards the end of this week. So anyway, just really something to think about. If you were to force me to say, most of the time university economists are pretty loath to give projections. I think there's a possibility of these corn declining if drought conditions don't develop that would surprise us. We get pretty good yields coming through the heart of the Corn Belt, and supplies available, and end up with a corn crop closer to 14.7, 14.8, or 15, then we would probably see something six or below for Dease corn futures. And that could get exacerbated just by the financial market volatility that we're seeing. On the November side, again, we're down from that high of 1784 down to 1458. Similar situation there. We are increasing acres. If we don't have any dry conditions really form in your part of the world, again, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, if they have good soybean crops on top of higher acres, then, again, do we hold at 1460 for November or thereabouts, or do we fall to 13 and a half or 14?
Hey, thanks, Dan. Dan O'Brien is with Kansas State University Extension. Don Day is here now from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hi, Don. It's a beautiful day here. How about in your part of the world? And more importantly, will we continue to have these gorgeous days with some intermittent rainfall?
Well, it kind of looks like it. I think what we're going to see here over the next week as we head into the new month of July and through the 4th of July weekend is a continuation of what we've had, which is these temperatures that are warm but not too hot, and we continue to see that ring of fire, those showers and thunderstorms in the southwest United States rotating around a high that's going to be centered here for the next several days right over Oklahoma and parts of North Texas. Now, that's going to cause some dryness and a lot of heat in areas to our west, but the real hot weather and the real drier conditions appear to be staying out of the Corn Belt here for a bit longer.
Yeah, so when we talk about that, we usually discuss it oscillating. I'm hopeful that it mostly wobbles a little back and forth and doesn't really oscillate too far to the east. What are your thoughts on it going forward?
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. In fact, what I do see is for this next week or so, let's take it out to 10 days, the same pattern we've been in is basically going to hold. So we're going to see the similar temperatures, occasional areas of showers and thunderstorms moving through most of the Corn Belt region. Now, there is going to be a westward shift of the high pressure more towards the Great Basin states as we get into, let's say, after the 8th, 9th of July or so. So that's going to change things up a little bit. And we're going to see that better moisture get shunted off to our west and southwest for a little bit. But then it's likely going to migrate back to where it is now towards the third week of July. So I am expecting more of the same for the next week or so, a little bit of a brief interruption, and then going back to where it is now.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming, joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org. And on Thursday of this week, you'll find a whole series of items of importance, beginning with the 11 a.m. Central Time USDA reports. The grain stocks numbers and acreage figures will be posted there at willag.org. You can also find them in my @CommodityWeek Twitter feed. And at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we'll round out those numbers on the air with our regular analyst on a webinar from the Ag Economist here on campus, including Scott Irwin and Joe Jansen. And then we'll come back with Commodity Week later that day, too, all at willag.org.